This podcast is one of the many good ones on the Self Defense Radio Network.
Hi, this is Derek from Atlanta. Unlike Bob, I am a former law enforcement officer, but I still enjoy listening to a practical show by a practical guy. You're listening to the Handgun World Podcast.
Hello, shooters. I'm Bob Main. Welcome to another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. Episode number 394. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. This is a practical show done by a practical guy, and that is me. I'm just an everyday guy, folks. I know I've been doing this a long time, and I do some firearms training, but most of you know I don't have a tactical background. And I'll just kind of leave it at that. Well, this week I want to talk about a new gun. Yep, I'm going to talk about a new gun. You know, it seems like that's kind of like part of my hobby here is getting new guns. Oh, you know, this is addictive, isn't it? It's just, it's my hobby, a part-time job, part-time business, so to speak. So let's dive right into it. Right before the election. A couple days before the election, I decided to go to the Saxit Gun Show in San Antonio. And this is something I had been considering for a long time anyway. I bought, from Ben Branham at Sparks Firearms, I bought the Larry Vickers Glock 19. The Larry Vickers Glock 19. Now, not because I'm a huge Larry Vickers fan. I've never met Larry Vickers, never took one of his classes. Heard a lot about him. Studied a lot about Larry and what he teaches. I don't agree with everything that he teaches, but then again, I don't agree with everything that everybody. God, I just said that wrong. I don't agree with everything that anybody teaches. You're not supposed to agree with everything that somebody says or does. Did you know that? I hope you don't agree with everything I say on this podcast. You shouldn't. You should be more of an independent thinker. But I like a lot of what Larry Vickers says, and I was quite intrigued when I started learning that Lipsy's was coming out with new edition of the Larry Vickers Glocks. Now, let me explain what it is. It's a third generation Glock 19. You might be saying, well, wow, Bob, whoop-de-doo, you got a third-gen Glock 19. What's so special about that? Well, there's some pretty cool things about this. I guess I'll let me just talk about these features and why I like them. And I'll just kind of leave it up to you. First of all, let's talk about the sights. Believe it or not, this is a Glock you can buy. And out of the box, it comes with real good sights. How about that? Now, this is more expensive than your average third-gen Glock 19. It is. It's significantly more expensive. But when you add up the cost of everything that the gun comes with, that I think are pretty good additions, pretty good features, it really isn't any more expensive at all. This comes out of the box with good Wilson Combat sights. Now, the one I have has a brass bead front sight. I don't know how I'm going to like that. I sort of like fiber optic front sights, or I like a night sight with some orange or green paint around the tritium vial. That's typically what I like. But I'm going to give these brass bead sights a try. I could always change out this front sight for a fiber optic sight if I don't like the brass bead. But I'm going to give it a try. But this is really cool. Wilson Combat steel, usable, good, decent sights on an out-of-the-box Glock. You know, it's one of the biggest criticisms of Glock pistols is that the sights are just pretty bad on regular Glocks. So that was a good upgrade. Now let's talk about his slide stop. Most of you know I am not a big fan of using the slide stop to send the slide forward after you load your pistol. I'm not a big fan of that. Because you're not going to clear a malfunction that way. I mean, when you clear a malfunction, you're going to have to pull the slide back. You're going to have to rack the slide manually to clear any kind of a malfunction. And so I believe in consistency of training. See, I believe in a stress situation, under stress, under the extreme stress of having to defend yourself with your gun. You want to have consistency of motion, consistency of training, consistency of habit. And if you're going to clear a malfunction by manually racking the slide, I believe that that's the way you should train yourself to load your pistol. Because you will do whatever is the easiest thing that you've trained to do under stress. Now, think about that. You'll do the easiest thing. You may train yourself to do difficult things, but it's been proven that when the body is stressed out and when you are frightened, you're going to do the easiest thing that will get the result you want. And the easiest thing with any semi-automatic pistol, I don't care which one it is, the easiest motion to use when you're chambering a new round is to pull the slide back, let it go forward, and put that round in the chamber. However, if you're the kind of person that likes to press the slide stop lever to chamber a new round, and a lot of competition shooters do it. Matter of fact, I'm in the Handgun World Mobile Studio right now, headed out to a competition match on a beautiful Saturday morning in San Antonio, Texas. If you're the kind of person that likes to use that slide stop lever and press it to send the slide forward to chamber around, the Larry Vickers slide stop is awesome. It's not like the Glock extended slide stop. What I don't like about the extended slide lock lever or slide stop lever that Glock makes is it sticks out too far towards the rear of the pistol. And I have a tendency to press it when I don't want to while I'm shooting. And so therefore sometimes my slide does not lock back after firing the last round of the magazine. So I have never used, well, I shouldn't say never. It's been a very long time since I have actually used the extended slide stop on a Glock. But the Larry Vickers version is pretty cool because it sticks out from the frame, not towards the rear of the frame. It sticks out just a little bit, like maybe 16th of an inch. 1/8 of an inch at the most. So, with my thumb, and most people with their thumbs, will be able to easily reach that slide release lever and chamber a new round. So I like that. Very well done. Very well done. It's actually about the same dimensions as the factory Glock slide lock lever. It just sticks out from the frame. So that's well done. Now, one of the best parts of the Larry Vickers Glock 19. And by the way, what they did is they took a third gen Glock 19. And Larry Vickers partnered up with Tango Down. And Tango Down makes a bunch of accessories and a bunch of, I shouldn't say accessories, I should say replacement parts that go on the third gen Glock 19. So it's pretty cool. They don't make the sights. Wilson Combat makes them, but Tango Down makes everything else. So you can check them out, tangodown.com, tangodown.com, and or if you just Google Larry Vickers Glock 19, you'll see what I'm talking about. The magazine release button. Now, you know, I switched over to fourth gen Glocks mainly because I really like the magazine release button on 4th gen Glocks. I like what Larry Vickers has come out with. He's come out with a magazine release button that sticks out from the frame a little bit more, but not as much as the factory Glock extended magazine release. If you ever pick up a Glock 34 that's out of the box, You'll notice on the out-of-the-box Glock 34, it's got the extended magazine release button. How many of you have ever played with one of those? Maybe you've put them on your Glocks. Now, the thing about that is that it does make the magazine release button easier to reach, but it sticks out too far. Sometimes it can poke your body when you're carrying the gun, depending on whether your holster covers up the magazine release button or not. And it's never happened to me, but I've heard reports of people accidentally pressing the mag button when they don't want to, and the magazine comes shooting out of their gun when they don't want it to come out of their gun. What Larry Vickers has designed is a mag button that's rounded. The edges are rounded. It's not sharp. That was one of the other criticisms I had about the third-gen extended magazine release buttons on Glocks, is it was real sharp, and I didn't like it. But Larry has made one that's nice and it's rounded, and it sticks out of the frame just enough. You know, it's the Goldilocks of magazine release buttons. Not too big, not too small. It's just right. And so I don't have to change my grip to eject the magazine. That's very important. Not changing your grip to eject the magazine. I like that. So that's well done. Now, he also has a grip plug. If you notice, Glocks have that big space behind the magazine. Between the magwell and the back strap, they've got a large space. And some people say that it'll collect dust and dirt and stuff like that, and it could make your pistol malfunction. That's never happened to me. I've owned Glocks for years, and I've shot them many, many thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of rounds. And it's never happened. I've never had a Glock malfunction because I had a bunch of dirt that got into that space behind the magazine. But the one nice thing about putting a plug in there, other than the fact that it keeps dirt out of there, it does help you when you reload. It kind of gives a little ramp there to help get the magazine in a little bit faster and a little quicker. And of course, you know, if you have to reload in a gunfight, it's a bad day. And so you want to make sure, I mean, it's a really bad day if you have to reload in a gunfight. Would you agree? It's bad enough that you had to pull your gun and get into a gunfight. It's twice as bad if you have to reload. But if you're going to reload, you might as well be able to do it efficiently and quickly. And if you're competing, if you're in a competition match, a lot of time can be lost on the reloads. So the grip plug that Larry Vickers has designed, I like it. And I also like the fact that it also doubles as a takedown tool. And it just goes inside the grip and it fits in there nicely, and you can pop it right out. You got a takedown tool. So, you know, if you need to take down your Glock, if you need a punch to break it down for some reason, to replace a part or to clean it, you got the takedown tool right there in the grip. So it doubles. It's a grip plug that doubles as a takedown tool. I thought that was a pretty cool idea. And it also gives you kind of like a little ramp to help reload easier. It's not a magwell, but it just assists in reloading. Now, let's get to the second last special feature that I want to talk about on this Larry Vickers Glock 19. I think the best feature is the magazine base plates. The magazine base plates are a little wider than the Glock magazine base plates, and they're kind of a round shape. So they're sort of a round shape and a little bit wider and very well designed. And nice serrated little places where you can grip the magazine. So the great thing about this, the advantage of this, is, remember I just got done talking about the fact that there's a grip plug. Now, one of the nice advantages of having that space in the grip of your Glock is that if you've got to rip the magazine out because you've got maybe a nasty double feed and the tap and rack won't clear the malfunction, you're going to have to lock that slide to the rear, and you're going to have to just literally grab a hold of that magazine and rip it out of the gun because it's probably not going to fall freely. Well, if you got that space, you can get your thumb up in there and you can grab that magazine and rip it out. That's one nice thing. But if you plug the space with this grip plug, you got to have some different base plates on your magazine. And these are very well designed. So they're super easy to just grab that magazine and rip that sucker out of there. Very impressed with that design. Very impressed. I like it. I like it a lot. Plus, they look cool. Those base plates look cool. So, that's a real, real nice feature. Now, the last feature. I saved the best for last. I'm talking about the best one last. The Glock RTF2 finish. Glock, before the Gen 4s came out, I don't know if you know, Glock's made the RTF. It stands for rough texture format or something like that, or rough texture form, whatever. Now, this is the RTF2. I don't remember an RTF1, but anyway, this is the RTF2. It's a little bit more aggressive texturing than the fourth gen, but not too much. And I really like, and it's basically the entire length of the grip, the back strap, and the front strap. So the RTF2 is a really, really good finish. You know, one negative about Glocks is they can get pretty slippery. You know, here in South Texas, where I live, you know, we can get 3 or 4 months in the summer of weather that's well over 100 degrees. And if I go out shooting, and I'm out a long time, and my arms and my hands sweat a little bit, my Glocks can start to get pretty slippery. So two of my Glocks, I've had some real nice stippling done on the grip by Chris France at Citadel Armory. I used to have Dale Honeycutt at GripProductions.com do it, but I think he's sort of either out of business or retired from that or whatever. But Chris France at Citadel Armory here in the San Antonio area does a really good job. So I had him do a 4th gen and a 3rd gen Glock for me. But this Larry Vickers Glock, it eliminates the need for you to have it textured. Yeah, that need goes away because it's already done by Glock. And I think it's better texture than the 4th gen. I do, because I've got a 4th gen Glock, and I think that it's better texture than the 4th gen. It's a little bit more aggressive, but it's not too aggressive. I could see myself shooting 500 rounds in one day, and this texturing would not beat up my hand. So that's good. I like that. That's another well-done feature. And I think it's the best feature out of all. And Glock has technically discontinued this texture. It's you can't really, unless you buy one of these special edition Larry Vickers Glocks, I don't believe you can get this anymore. Now, mine is my Vickers Glock 19, by the way, is all black. All black. These were made in flat dark earth. They were made in gray. Mine's all black. I like them all black. Okay, black guns matter, don't they? Hey, did you guys get I hope a few episodes back, 5 or 6 episodes back, you listened to my interview with Maj Touré of Black Guns Matter. He really had some good stuff to say. If you didn't listen to that, go back. Yeah, it's only like 4 or 5 weeks ago. Maj Touré, Black Guns Matter. I can't remember. I'm driving in the Handgun World Mobile Studio, so I'm not going to look at my iPhone. I believe in safe driving, so I'm not going to look up the episode number for you, but you can find it. Black Guns Matter. So anyway, I like black, and Glocks should be black. All right, they should be black. And so this one is. So for all these reasons I just mentioned, this is why I got one of these. Did I need another Glock? No. But folks, it's not about need. Since when does buying guns ever come down to need? You know, I mean, unless you don't own a gun right now. If you don't own a gun, well then, yeah, you need one. But once you own one or two guns, then it's no longer need. It's, you know, it, like Alan Gottlieb from the Second Amendment Foundation says, it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. So, hey, it's your right, and if you want it, then get it. So that's what I did. I exercised my want, and I got it. And I like it. I really, really like it. This may become, now, you know, my primary carry gun, my everyday primary carry gun is a Glock 19. Right now it's a fourth gen modified Glock 19. I've made a lot of modifications to my carry gun, except I haven't modified the trigger. The only trigger modification I have done to my everyday carry Glock 19 is I've given it about a 7,000 round trigger job. And the trigger's nice on it. Real nice after about 7,000 rounds through that particular pistol. But this one here, because of all the cool features on it, might be become my everyday carry Glock 19. Now, the one thing that this gun could use to make it really, really cool would be a Trijicon RMR red dot sight on it. And then I'd take these Wilson combat sights off and put them on one of my other Glocks. And so that might be the very next upgrade that I do. I may send this slide over to Suarez International and have the good folks over at Suarez International put probably an RM06 or an RM07 Trijicon red dot sight on it. But for now, it is what it is, and I'm going to do the best I can to shoot the snot out of it. Because that's what it's all about, right? Isn't that, I mean, that's, it better be. You better be shooting like crazy. You better be shooting your guns like crazy. I mean, after all, folks, they're tools. They're tools that are going to save your life one day, maybe. God forbid, we don't want to have to use it. We don't want that awful day to come. But if that awful day comes where you got to use your gun, I hope it's not one of the very first times that you've shot that gun. Whew. Man, I want you to think about something. What if a member of your family had a medical emergency and you had to rush them to the ER? Now, you can probably all relate, because probably nearly everybody who is listening to this podcast has had a family member that you've had to rush to the ER. What if you had to run somebody to the ER, and it was the very first time you've ever driven your car? Yeah, think about that. You've never driven a car or a truck before. Never. You've never driven. It's the first time you've ever driven, and you got to rush a family member to the ER. Maybe their life's in danger. See, that would be kind of an awful situation, right? Could you make it through? Yeah, probably, maybe. Maybe you could. It's the first time you ever drove. Don't let it be the very first time that you shoot your gun if you have to defend your life with it. It's amazing. And you know what? Buying a box of ammo, one box of 50 rounds of practice ammo, and going to the square range, going to a public range, and shooting a piece of paper 50 times, that's not shooting your gun, folks. That's not what I mean. All that is testing your gun to make sure it works. Do you realize that? That's all that is. That's all you're doing when you go to a public range and you stand there and you send that target out to about 7 yards or 5 yards, whatever, and you put a box of 50 rounds on the table and you load up your gun and you shoot all 50 rounds into that piece of paper or piece of cardboard. All you're doing is testing to make sure that your gun works. You're not shooting your gun. You're not getting anything out of doing that. When I say shoot your gun, I mean practice your gun as if you're going to use it in self-defense. Practice with your gun. Train with your gun. Practice with your gun as if you're going to use it in self-defense to save your life or the life of a loved one. That's what I mean when I say shooting your gun. So don't let it be the very first time that you've trained that way if your life is on the line. Okay, I'm going to take a quick break, and then I've got more to talk about.
Good afternoon. This is your captain speaking with just a little flight information. Coming up on the left, we're going to be catching a glimpse of the Grand Canyon. On the right, you can be able to see the Hoover Dam in just a few minutes. We're flying at an altitude of 37,000 feet, and our airspeed is 400 miles an hour. Couple little facts here. I'm packing a Colt King Cobra. That's a 357 caliber firearm with a black rubber grip and a 6-inch barrel. Also, the co-pilot is carrying a Kimber custom defense pistol with all the bells and whistles you'd expect from a custom gun of that kind, with an alloy frame and bevel treatment on the entire gun. And our chief flight attendant, Roger, has a Ruger Bearcat 22 with a hand-fluted cylinder. All three are capable of piercing body armor at a distance of up to 27 feet, and it can put a hole in human bone and flesh the size of the Grand Canyon, which, by the way, is coming up on the left-hand side of the plane, so just sit back and relax and enjoy the rest of the flight.
Okay, I'm back. The match was a lot of fun. There were five stages. I had three good stages, and I had two bad stages where I had brain farts. The last two stages, I kind of lost my concentration a little bit. You know, I got a lot of things going on that are causing me to lose my concentration on a lot of things. You know, with the situation with my wife fighting for her life, you know, she's got ALS. Her breathing is starting to shut down. They've got her on a tracheotomy and a ventilator, and it's a tough situation, folks. And I'm trying to make sure that she gets the health care that she needs and that she gets to the right facilities that she needs to be staying at for now before she can come home, and trying to figure out how to get it all paid for. And I've been, for the last couple weeks, been having some problems getting dizzy a couple times each day. I'm not quite sure what that's all about. But I press on. And so I kind of lost my concentration last couple stages. But it was really a lot of fun to get out there and pull the trigger again. I haven't gone to a competition match in a couple months. I shouldn't let a couple months go by without shooting competition, because it's excellent trigger time. And I'll probably not let that happen again. Shot my Glock 19 Gen 4 that I was talking about in the last segment that has all kinds of good, nice upgrades to it. So in the last segment, I was talking about, you know, the benefits of some of the Vickers products, the add-ons to the Glock if you get in a gunfight. And if you get in a gunfight, you need to have the best equipment possible and the best training possible that work for you, so that you can prevail, so you can go home. But that's not the end of the fight. You're going to fight a legal battle after that. And you're probably going to fight a real nasty legal battle. And just ask Paul Lathrop from the Polite Society podcast. He didn't even present his gun, and he still got arrested. Again, didn't use his gun, but still got arrested for a gun charge. He got charged with by an anti-gun prosecutor. And those types of things can happen to you. And so my question is, do you have a bunch of money in the bank for your legal defense fund? Because you're going to go to court even if you have a lawful self-defense shooting. So Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network is a sponsor of the Self-Defense Radio Network. I'd urge you to sign up, armedcitizensnetwork.org, armedcitizensnetwork.org. I'll put a link in the show notes. Paul Lathrop is the tracking code, or 15625. Either one of those tracking codes, you will benefit the Self-Defense Radio Network, because we're affiliate, will get paid. So I want to talk about the equipment that I was using a little bit further. As I mentioned, I was shooting one of my fourth generation Glock 19s with speed sights and everything, and I was using a mag holder, horizontal magazine mag pouch carrier, and I really like those. Today I did not use my Concealment Solutions Cobra concealed carry holster. Today I wanted to use my Comtac competition holster that I bought years ago. Really didn't notice that much of a difference. But when it comes to holsters, also don't forget, Concealment Solutions is also now a sponsor of the Self-Defense Radio Network. And you can get a 10% discount at Concealment Solutions. The coupon code I'd like you to use now is SDRN. SDRN. There's a link in the show notes. If you do me a favor, go to the link that I put in the show notes first for Concealment Solutions. Then when you get to their checkout, put in SDRN. You'll get 10% off. You'll get 10% off using the coupon code SDRN following the special link that's in the show notes at handgunworld.com. All right, I will speak a little bit about the election. I'm not going to say a whole lot about the election because even though the election, the presidential election, is over, you're still going to hear about it for the next 3 or 4 months until all the changes take place and all that. I got to say, first of all, I'm glad the election's over. I really wish our presidential election cycles didn't last almost 2 years. Man, that's just way too long. But I'll say this, and I'm not going to go on a political rant. I promise I'm not going to go on a political rant. I just want to say something. I am not a hater. I am not a hater. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I believe in loving one another. I am angry at many of my fellow Americans. Some of them are friends of mine on Facebook, and they are labeling Donald Trump voters as haters. Or they're saying that hate won the election. Ladies and gentlemen, hate did not win the election. Donald Trump voters are not haters. They're not deplorables. That is total garbage. Can somebody please tell me what's hateful about forcing people to follow the law when they immigrate to this country? What's hateful about stopping illegal immigration? I didn't say stopping all immigration. I said stopping illegal immigration. Is that hate? That's not hate. That's just standing up for the rule of law. And so now after the election's over, look who the haters are. Look who the haters are. The people in the streets rioting and setting things on fire because the election didn't go their way. Those are the real haters. It just bothers me. It bothers me what this country has come to. Okay, I'm not saying Donald Trump's perfect. He's not. You know, I've mentioned many times before, Donald Trump was not my first choice for president. He wasn't even my second choice or my third choice. But when I had to make a choice between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, and those were the only two choices, folks, Gary Johnson and Jill Stein, well, you see how well they did. Okay? They were not viable choices. I'm sorry. It just look at the results and you tell me if they were viable alternatives. When it came down to the choice between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, why would I want to vote for somebody who, first of all, was anti-Second Amendment and anti-gun? Why would I want to put a known criminal in office as the President of the United States? I would rather vote for the flawed human being. And ladies and gentlemen, we're all sinners. We're all sinners. If you're a Christian, you're forgiven. But we're all sinners. So let he who has not sinned please cast the first stone, okay? This is not a sermon, but ladies and gentlemen, on November 8th, we did not vote for Sunday school teacher. We didn't vote for our favorite pastor. We voted for president, a secular leader of our government. So you're not going to get a perfect person because there are no perfect people. So, you know, I had to make a choice, and my choice was to take this government back and put it back in the hands of the people where it belongs. And I voted for the candidate that I thought was going to do the best job of putting this country back in the hands of the people. And that was my primary motivation, believe it or not, for voting for Donald Trump. Yes, I'm a Second Amendment supporter, obviously. Yes, regardless of all the pinheads who have sent me emails saying that I don't do enough to promote gun rights. Good Lord, I can't believe people actually think that about me. I voted to put for the president who is most likely to put this government back into the hands and the control of the people. Government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And I felt that Donald Trump was going to do a better job of that than Hillary Clinton. And by doing that, by putting this government back in the hands of the people, the Second Amendment and all the other rights that we hold dear will be a little more safer. Safer from being taken away from us. That's all I will say. Well, one more thing. Stop calling me a hater. Probably none of you listening to this podcast think that of me. But in case there's some of you that are listening to this podcast or that listen to it in the future and didn't support Donald Trump, I respect your decision not to vote for Donald Trump if you didn't. I respect that. I'm okay with it. It's your right. But you do not have a right to call me a hater because I voted for Donald Trump. All right. Next, I'd like to say that Ben Branham and I are probably going to be coming to a city relatively close to you next year. We've got 6 training classes that are already set up and probably going to set up a couple of more. The ones that I can tell you about for sure, January in San Antonio, April in Dallas, February in Houston, May in Utah, June in Illinois, July, I'm not quite sure yet. August in South Dakota and Ohio. That's what we got set up so far. All you have to do is go to selfdefenseradio.net and you can see a listing of all the classes. Go to the listener discount page if you want a discount on our classes. The listener discount page, and that password's SDRN, all lowercase. SDRN, all lowercase. Registration has already started for the January 21st class in San Antonio. So, and they went to the listener discount page at selfdefenseradio.net and put in the password SDRN. If you forget about all these passwords that I'm giving you and links and all that, just go to handgunworld.com. In the show notes of every single episode, I now put all this stuff in there so it's easy for you to click on and just do it. So I hope that we see you at a class pretty soon. Get training with your guns. Before you buy more guns and but before you buy more ammo, get the most out of what you already own. And that's all. That's all I'm going to say, folks. So thanks for listening to another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. I'm Bob Main. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. And remember, evil does not exist in the holster. It exists in the hearts of men and women. Shoot straight, shoot safe. I'll talk to you next week. Goodbye. Won't you take on
live again.